listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Lana Silk joins us. She's the president and CEO of Transform Iran. Lana, welcome into the broadcast.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for having me.
Well, the last time we spoke, we were talking about a lot of the changes happening at Transform Iran, your new position there, and seeing your father actually move back to really what's in his wheelhouse, his planting churches and the things he started doing decades ago in Iran. And briefly, for those not familiar who may have missed our previous conversations, for those not familiar with the ministry of Transform Iran, the 1 minute elevator speech, what is it exactly the ministry's focus?
So we are at the heart of church planting organization, and we, our mission is to plant churches, disciple leaders and resource and empower the body of Christ to be nation changing churches and leaders. So that's how it started. And it's really great to see my father, who with my mom founded the ministry, be able to really focus back in on that central vision. And I'm just pleased to be able to support by doing this side of it so that he can focus on that side of it.
Yeah. Well, just weeks into your appointment as CEO and president of Transform Iran, which, yeah, as you mentioned, focuses on evangelism, discipleship, and transformation, seeing lives changed in Iran and elsewhere. But just weeks into it, here comes epic fury. I want to throw it to you so you can let us know the landscape you're dealing with, how we can be praying for you specifically as you lead this ministry, and for those that are co-laboring with you in it. How the KLYT listener can be praying and prayerfully considering maybe financially supporting the efforts that you're doing. Let me throw it to you, Lana, share as much or as little as you like.
Thank you. Yes, we need a lot of prayer. It's extremely intense on every front right now. There is a very intense humanitarian crisis brewing. People can't afford to feed their families, get medical care that they want. Then there's the intense emotional and sort of psychological toll that's happening here with the persecution that not just Christians now, but everyone in Iran is suffering from the government, the kind of scrutiny that everyone's under. There's no one left in Iran now who hasn't have been personally touched by some kind of suffering over the last 2 months in the way the government either killed someone they knew, tortured someone they knew, or themselves. It's been horrific. And now, of course, there's a whole lot of uncertainty for the future. There is excitement, for sure. People welcome Western intervention and want a new regime. But there's no denying that the everyday aspect of that, you're living in a war zone, and there's fear and anxiety. So we want to be a good support for the church. We want to make sure that we are really mentoring and pastoring and being a source of comfort and strength to them at this time. We want to continue to widely spread the gospel for the lost who are desperately searching for some meaning in their lives at this time, to introduce them to Jesus. And we're also putting in some very strategic plans that have been in the works for many, many years, but now we're in the final stages thinking, well, within weeks or months, we'll be able to activate some of these plans. So please pray for wisdom for us as we finalize our strategic operations and for resources, because some of these things are not cheap.
Yeah. Well, and as you mentioned, the people of Iran they're in a war zone. Do you anticipate refugees heading out of Iran? Is that possible?
Yes, it's hard. There already are some. Those who have the means, and that's definitely the minority, are mostly flocking north to Armenia. And there is a growing number in Armenia who are making their way that way. There used to be a lot of refugees in Turkey, but Turkey has been actively deporting the refugees back to Iran over the last few years, and it's been very tough to be a refugee in Turkey. So I don't see much of that growing, but you never know, desperate times. I think what's more likely to happen is if the regime is to fall, then we're going to have a reverse flow, because there are 5 or 6 million people in the diaspora who are desperate to go back see the places of their upbringing, visit with family they've not seen for years, not to mention the many Christians who've been preparing for a long time to go and in person bring the gospel to their countrymen. So I think we'll see a lot of people returning.
And, you know, I mentioned refugees, and you mentioned Armenia. Other countries, I think in our previous conversations, although the name of the ministry, Transform Iran, which the website is transformiran.com, you are ministering in more than just Iran. Is that correct?
Yes, we have a footprint in 19 countries. We have churches in most of those countries. Our focus is still Iran. The vast majority of our churches are in Iran, but the vast majority of our actual operations in terms of producing TV programs, translating Bibles, those kinds of things happen outside Iran. Of course, it's safer and more practical to do it that way. We are OFAC certified. We can send aid into Iran, and we have the means to do that. But we're widely spread. Right now, our churches in the diaspora are busy. Same thing again, preparing for an open Iran, making sure that they have their affairs in order so they can go back and go visit with their disciples and plant churches in the country.
Now, how does Iran's attacking other Middle East countries other than Israel, how does that impact this whole thing?
Yes, that's right. Iran is a bit of a separate entity to the rest of that region. Iranians are very proud to be Iranians, different. People will often couple them in together as Arabs, and the Iranians would find that quite offensive, I suppose, in the same way that Americans and Canadians don't like to be mixed up. So
right.
Iranians are very proud that they're not Arab. And I think part of that is a religious distinction, because Arabs are often Sunni Muslims, which is a completely different type of Islam to Shiite Muslims. They have core fundamental theological disagreements. So there has never been, it's never been super straightforward, Iran's relationship with the rest of the Arab, the Middle Eastern countries. I think that it was interesting to me that Iran chose to, as a first response, target American military bases in, I think it, in the end, it was 8 different countries that Iran attacked. It was 6 or 7 at the beginning. And, perhaps that was a miscalculation, because if there had been any kind of empathy in those countries for Iran, and, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of these nations will rally together because they don't like to be attacked by America. That's gone, because they themselves have had fallout from Iran's retaliation. So Iran is isolated definitely now across the Middle East. Is that
okay.
What you're asking?
Yeah. Just for those, you know, most of us have not operated or ever been to this part of the world. And I think some of what you shared may be the first time, you know, many Americans have even heard, if they're not paying close attention. The other thing, you know, back to ministry, we talked about, you know, Epic Fury and Iran retaliating and a war happening and people in the war zone. And obviously that doesn't make it any easier for ministry to be happening. However, I have to imagine in the midst of this, you probably have somewhere in there a praise report that you can share with our audience.
Yes, I do. There are stories of salvation coming through. We launched an AI-powered sort of apologetics and discipleship tool in the summer. The reason we did that was because we were seeing an increase in demand from Iran for people to have those sort of personal interactive conversations about the Christian faith, but at the same time, an increase in fear. So Kairos, our tool, overcomes both those obstacles, because now you can reach people at scale. And of course, you're not limited by human resources, but you can also do it completely anonymously and safely without people's identities ever being revealed. And we've had a lot of people using it to ask questions around these topics, like what does the Bible say about war? Is it okay to protest even? Is it okay to fight back? And just lots of sort of theological questions. But in amongst those, we've had people come to Kairos and ask questions about Jesus. One of my favorites was a man, well, I guess he was a man, a person, sort of mid-January, that he was describing, saying he'd never, ever known any Christians in his life, never heard the gospel presented to him. He'd had questions about Jesus for about a year, but hadn't had the courage to ask anyone, and had found this tool and wanted to talk about it. And you could see the dialogue progressing as he asked more questions. And, you know, it's personal then, isn't it? All of us have used some form of AI where you can really drill down to the heart of the matter. And by the end of it, he gave his life to the Lord. So we're getting testimonies like that. And if I have time, Steve, I can show you another version of testimonies with regards to how the IRGC are responding.
Yeah, please do.
We have been asking our partners to pray for moral courage amongst the Iranian authorities. You know, some really wicked instructions are being handed down, but there are hundreds of thousands of people caught up in that. We've been praying that those who've been given instructions to do evil things will push back. And we had two testimonies recently about that. One was one of the people in our church was driving home, and she was driving through the city center and her window was down, and she could hear an IRGC agent and a police officer arguing. So this is firsthand. The IRGC agent wanted the police officer to deploy tear gas into the city center, and the gas they've been using has been poisoning people. And the police officer was pushing back, saying, this is not a protest. This is crowding because you have blocked off so many roads that is forcing all the traffic and all the pedestrians down into the center. They're not protesting. And so they had a whole argument about it. And at the end of the day, the IRGC agent stood down. And the other testimony that I heard was an IRGC agent who'd been instructed to rape all the women in his care. And he refused. He actually resigned over it. So the God is beginning to do things. We can't see all the little things that are happening, but hearts and minds are being turned. And I, you know, we continue to pray for these people that they would, and on this path, find Jesus and repent fully of what they've been doing and follow Jesus.
Yeah, well, it's a beautiful country, beautiful people, under the thumb of an evil regime. And I think it's very important for our audience to see the people of Iran like Jesus does. He loves them and he wants to know them, and Transform Iran is working to make that happen. This is your family's home and the home to millions who need the gospel. And we've been visiting with Alana Silk. She's the president and CEO of Transform Iran. I would encourage you to go to the website, find out more about the ministry, prayerfully consider how you can support their efforts. And don't miss, scroll down a little bit on the homepage to find a video of a recent interview Lana did with others on CBN News. Go watch that video and find out more. Lana, thanks so much for the update. And we hope we can reach out again in the event things transpire that we'll need more updates. But always appreciate your time and look forward to seeing what God does through the work of Transform Iran.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.